Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Oh, it's, Lord, with excitement that we enter in. Lord, what does it say? Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. Fill our hearts and minds, Lord, with truth this day that we can look just like you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue our series this morning, Pathways to Partnership, as the Lord desires that we partner together. Everybody say partners in the gospel. So we are partnering together in the gospel and advancing his kingdom one heart at a time. To set our course, he's given us 5 core tenets. And here they are: honor, humility, trust, unity of the Spirit, and hearts for reconciliation. Isn't it amazing? All of these really do foster unity. I know it's 4, but they really all contribute to the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we are currently, we're going to continue unity of the Spirit today because the Lord won't let me move on. He wants this to continue to just kind of incubate in our hearts. John 17:20, I do not pray, Jesus said, for these alone, but I pray for those who will believe in me through their word. And what's he praying? That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me for them. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one just as we are one. So the glory of God, you already have it, you possess it. It's his view and opinion, the perspective of God, and then it's also his, the glory of his nature, his character. So the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Why? That we may be one as he and the Father are one. Look at this. I in them, you in me, Jesus is saying, that they may be made perfect in unity or in one. Literally, not multiple, one. And that the world may know that you've sent me and that you love them just like you love me. My goodness. That's so powerful. There are incredible benefits to the oneness that Jesus is speaking of here. But we have to walk in it. How many of you know he won't choose for you? He's not going to choose for you. So he gives you the word, we become one with it, and we act upon it, and we live the reality of our oneness. Our unity within a body, this particular body, or unity within the body of Christ. How many of you know churches can work together? We don't have to be competing against each other. On earth as it is in heaven, Jesus said. Well, they're not competing in heaven. They're all giving high fives that they all made it. And they're like, I'm sorry I excluded you. Man, I just didn't see it. We thought we were the only ones. So our oneness is perhaps the greatest evangelistic and discipleship tool yet unrealized in the body of Christ. I mean, think of all the things that we've hung, the what do you call those little door hanger things? We've done tracts, we've done door hanger evangelism, we've went door to door, we've tried all these things to evangelize, and yet Jesus said, hey, how about you all love each other well? If you'll live out unity in my spirit, the world will be drawn to you. Then they'll begin to see that I was sent here for them and that I, the Father, loves them just like he loves me. The world will begin to know that God sent Jesus here to fill them, reconnect them with his Spirit, and foster a relationship through love. So I love that. I love that there in verse 23. That the world may know. Why is unity important? That the world may know that you sent me here for them, Father, literally, that I came to reconnect them with you. Isn't that what it's all about, to live connected to the Father's Spirit? Did you know fish abide in water? Because water gives life to fish. Why does water give life to fish? Because when God wanted fish, he spoke to the water to bring forth fish. So fish came from water, therefore they must abide in water to have life. Plants came from the soil, so plants must abide in the soil or they die. Guess who we came from? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Remember, he didn't speak to the water or the ground or whatever. He spoke to himself. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. 10 times in Genesis 1, from verse 10 to 24, the phrase, according to its kind, is used. So he's making all this stuff according to its kind. And if fish come out of water, there's a law. Fish have to abide in water, remain there, live there, dwell there, or they'll die. And we came from the Spirit of God, so guess who we must abide in? The Spirit of God. Because we came from Him. So His, boy, isn't that powerful? Just use your mind for just a moment, just like you can picture water that a fish must abide in to have life. Picture the Spirit of God, and a human being must live and abide. That's why religion will never do. Man-made religion will never do. We have to live in the Spirit of the living God. Jesus came to reconnect us to the Father, to restore us, to redeem us, to reconcile us with Him. And I love that unity is a secret weapon. Not many churches have used it. That unity fosters a relationship with God. I did put these up here for you. Number one, people receiving Jesus, choosing to walk with Him daily. That's John 17. God commands His life and blessing on unity. Psalm 133. Anything is possible. Genesis 11. God said of an ungodly people with an ungodly purpose, because they're speaking the same language and they're all of one mind, of one accord, nothing shall be impossible for them. That was the Tower of Babel. How many of you know we're not an ungodly people with an ungodly purpose? We're a godly people carrying His purpose. What can He do in and through us? Anything is possible. And then number four, the precursor to kingdom breakthrough in Matthew 12. If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come. It's manifesting. I like to say it this way because He's talking about division. If I drive out division by the unity of the Spirit, the kingdom of God will come to your church. It'll come to your town. It'll come to your marriage. It'll come to your family. Amen, somebody. And I'm going to share with you again, it's not the devil that you need to worry about. It's our own flesh and our pride and our ego and our selfishness that brings strife and division. So let's go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So Acts 2 is not on here for some. Oh, there it is. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This is the early church. So remember, the word of the Lord right now is the old is the new. What's He doing? Well, He's returning us to our roots. The early church didn't graduate and mature to loving each other. They began loving each other. The church was birthed in the unity of the Spirit. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That word is koinonia. In the breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple. And then breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And here's John 17. Okay, so anyway, I'll give you verse 47 because it's not there. Oh my goodness. These are all backwards. So verse 47 says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So remember in John 17 when He said, if you'll be one as I and the Father are one, then the world will know. The world started figuring out that God had sent Jesus here for them. The world started figuring out that God loved them just like He loves His own Son. Amen. So we see John 17. Well, how many of you know this truth is eternal? Jesus didn't say it in John 17 so that it would manifest in Acts 2 and then that's it. No, it's for the church, ongoing. And the early church was unified. They were devoted to koinonia, which is true Bible unity. They were devoted to fellowship, and the word really means partnership. Partners in the gospel. And I think they were even devoted to discipleship. They didn't want people just to know Jesus and get born again and then not raise them up, amen, as disciples and followers of Christ Himself. So they were devoted to this. Can I get a witness that the lost don't need to come to church or to the body of Christ or to your house or wherever looking for Jesus and instead find gossip, backbiting, power plays, devouring each other? How about competition? The lost don't need to come to the church or have a relationship with someone in the body of Christ and see everything that they already see that's perverted in the world. They need to see the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, that we love each other well. We love each other beyond our differences. They should experience Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. They should experience Jesus through the message, through worship. Are you ready? Through relationship and brotherly affection. They should experience Him in that atmosphere. When they come to church, they should experience a genuineness among the people that are willing to lay our lives down for others. We got to rebuke the me first Western Christianity, where it's just all about me. I mean, we actually have to care what happens to other people. That's the kingdom of God. It wasn't called the gospel of personal salvation Jesus came preaching. It was the gospel of the kingdom, which means He wanted to change the hearts of every human being on the planet. We don't sign a card and check a list and say, yay, I'm going to heaven when I'm dead. Too bad, so sad for everybody else, I guess. At least I'm going. That's not the kingdom. Your relationship with Jesus did begin with you. I get that. You needed help. Amen. We all needed help in a serious way. So it did begin with us, but it can't end with us. If it's just always about us, I think it ceases to be authentic. And they need to come and see a genuine people willing to lay our lives down for other people so that they can know Jesus. I remember pre- and post-service ministry. We used to talk about this a lot. Pre- and post-service ministry. Brother Steve, what is that? Well, it's a culture. It's an atmosphere that lives within Grace Church of family, of engaging each other. It's a safe environment. Post-service ministry is where, you know, we stick around and we engage one another. We talk. How are you doing? Do you need prayer? Can I help you in some way? Post-service ministry is not making a beeline for the restaurant. Like, how... I got things to do, man. I got stuff to get done. I'm out of here. Pew! That's not post-service ministry. We're making connection with each other intentionally. Everybody say intentionally. What a great word from the Lord for 2020. Intentionally. So we're making connection intentionally to do what? To find who might be interested in walking with Jesus. We're not looking for church members. There's no power in being a church member. If church membership would have saved America, it'd already be saved. We got way more church members than Christians in this country. I said a lot right there. I don't know if you wrote that down, but you need to. We got way more church members than we do Christians, and that's why the country looks like it does. We Christians are Christ-like. It was the pagans who called us Christians in Scripture. We're little Jesuses. People that had been with Jesus. Come on, amen? Versus, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to so-and-so church. Oh, we don't believe like you. Well, we don't believe like you. Here we go. And here we go. So, post-service ministry, we're making connection. Even pre-service ministry, we're making connection. We're looking for people who want to know Jesus. Who might need help? Oh, this is so good. This is good. Brother Steve, I thought that's what you were there for. No, read Ephesians 4. I'm here to equip you to do the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. I'm quoting you Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Amen, somebody. It reminds me of Matthew 9, 35 through 38, when Jesus looked out on a multitude of people, and you remember his heart broke. He was moved with compassion because they looked like sheep with no. So there were people who were lost. They needed somebody to walk with them. They needed somebody to help them to know Jesus. Could you imagine just saying, all right, well, Bill, it's nice to meet you. I don't even see it. There it is. Here, Bill, here's a card. Write your name on this, and if you accept Jesus into your heart, we're going to go with Donna, not Bill. Donna. Sign this card and you got your ticket to heaven. No, they need to know Him. Can I remind you that Jesus said in Matthew 7, they were talking about, did we not cast out demons in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do all this stuff? I went to church. I did this. I went to confession. I did this. I took communion, whatever. I got baptized, whatever. He said, depart from me. I never, this is eternal life that they would know you. You got to know him. And so your born again experience is just the beginning. So we got to have people within the church body that are willing to walk with the babies. And I don't mean nursery. I mean, yes, we do need nursery help, but spiritual babies who will walk with them. See, Jesus said, pray then, Matthew 9, the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers because the harvest is plenty, but I can't find any help. Do you imagine if people had said, well, Jesus, that's your job. He's like, why am I here? I didn't come to hoard everything from the Father. I came to get it, possess it, and give it to you. Amen. Amen. You don't honor Jesus by saying he's got everything and you have nothing. He came, you honor him by taking what he came to possess, recapturing it for us, and then giving it to you, walking it out. You're either, you in Matthew 9, you either see yourself as part of the harvest or as a laborer in the kingdom of God. And as a laborer in the kingdom of God, when are we going to start caring about our obedience? Sorry, that was not in my notes. But I think the Lord, by his love, cares about our obedience. It's not enough to look at Matthew 9 and say, yay, amen, what a great truth. How about, Lord, use me. Use me. I want to walk with somebody. I want to help somebody know you. What would be very important if you're going to help people know Jesus? What would be very important? That you know him. And we've been talking a lot. How do we get to know him? Abide with him. Live connected. Walk by his spirit. Sit with him when you open scripture. Don't just check it off. Oh, I read a chapter today. Yay for me, religious. Sit with the author. Invite him into scripture. Ask him to breathe life, personal words to you from the scripture. Get immersed in the love of God. Live in the love of God. Let Jesus love you into loving others. What I was taught growing up in church, like, I'm going to go out here and try to love well. Well, I can't love without love. He is love. So if I'm going to love well, it means I've surrendered myself to him. So I let Jesus love me into loving others. Number four, learn about the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12, 9 through 14 talks about no one knows the things of God but the Spirit of God. No one knows the things of a man except the Spirit that's where? In the man. So think how brilliant God is. Nobody knows the things of God but the Spirit of God. Nobody knows that all that is in him but the Spirit. So he took that Spirit that knows all that's in him and gave him to you. Amen. He clearly wants you to know. Verse 9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, this is 1 Corinthians 2, nor is entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. Okay, they have his divine influence of love upon our heart. Boy, I could share on that. I shared that on the live stream last Wednesday. If you haven't seen that last Wednesday, go to the website about God's divine influence upon the human heart. But people read verse 9 and think, well, that's it. I can't know anything, right? Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, never entered my heart what God's doing. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. And he goes on to talk about that it's the spirit of a man that's in the man that really understands the man. So it's in the same way, it's the Spirit of God inside of God that really understands who God is. Jesus came and died on the cross, shed his blood, removed all your sin, amen, past, present, and future, so that this Holy Spirit could live in you. Amen. And do what in you? Teach you, guide you into all truth. He's the teacher. Teach you, coach you, unveil the truth. So go back to number two. Invite him, the author of the scripture, invite him into your scripture time. And say, Lord, I know what this says on ink and paper, but what are you saying to me? What do you want to say to me today through this passage? Amen. And then number five, get your identity from the Lord, from your heavenly Father. Remember in Luke 3, Jesus came up out of the water after water baptism. The heavens opened. Always pay attention when the heavens open, because something awesome is getting ready to happen. Which, by the way, at Prayer Shield, we got the prophetic word again that soon we'll be living under an open heaven here at Grace Church. And I say, yes, Lord, amen. I have had people say it's easier to hear God's voice. When I walk in the sanctuary, it's like a lot of the distraction and clutter is removed. I can hear. That's what it is. I think that's what an open heaven is. But we want more of an open heaven. So what was I saying? Luke 3, Jesus, the heavens opened, and a dove, or the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, descended upon him and alighted upon him. And what did the Father say? You are my beloved son. Beloved son. Not just any old son. Beloved son. In you I am well pleased. Guess what the next verse says, verse 23. And Jesus began his ministry at about 30 years of age. So he hadn't done anything, and the Father approves him on the front end. He wanted to make sure that Jesus knew he was loved, knew he was accepted, knew that he was one with his Father, that he could not fail in his Father's eyes, so that every miracle and ministry he did would come from that truth and not for a relationship performing for God. Let me work a miracle so God will love me. That would be self-serving, and that's anti the nature of God, who is selfless. Does that make sense to you? So in the same way, you've got to get your identity from Father God. Truest thing about you is what? He says about you and his well-pleasing, beloved, acceptable, perfect son is inside of you. And that's how he sees you. Amen. Can we give him praise this morning? Well, that's good. Thank you, Lord. All right, that was all free of charge. Don't know how I got on that. But, oh yeah, the key, if we're going to help, we're going to walk with people to know him personally, you need to know him. And those are just, I call them the Fab Five. It's just five ways, practical things that we can do on a regular basis to know Jesus. And now we can help somebody else know him. Amen, amen. So let's, I want to show you a couple other scriptures. I hope and pray this thing's all good. I don't even see 1 Corinthians 1:10 on here. I guess the devil was just messing with the slides, but he can't stop us. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 1:10. And if you guys do have that in the back, just throw it up there for me. That's not it. That's 12. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't see 1 Corinthians 1:10. If you find it, let me know. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same purpose. Amen. Wow. Yes. The Lord doesn't want divisions, multiple visions at work in Grace Church. We have a vision. It's his vision, the kingdom of God. Manifesting in human hearts. So I love that. Speak the same thing. Let there be no divisions in you. You be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same purpose. That's his desire. All right. Let's look at another one. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go. Oh, go back. You had it. See how I think they're messed up? Oh, that's it. Go back. That's it. 1 Corinthians 12:24, New Living Translation. So God has put the body together. So guess what that means? If God put the body together, if you get mad at somebody, you got to take it up with him. Boy, I didn't get any help on that. God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that are less visible. This makes for harmony among the members so that everybody cares for each other. That's the heart of the Lord right there. All right, let's go to defining true Bible unity. If I can do that next slide. All right, look at this, guys. This is powerful. When you study true Bible unity in the Spirit, it is, number one, a state of being one. Okay, not divided, not multiple, one. We are one. Freedom from division. Oneness of mind and mission. And let me help you. If you're new to Grace Church, maybe you've been here a long time, but if you're new to Grace Church, our mission is very simple. We want people to know Jesus. I mean like the real Jesus, like who's alive in the present tense. I don't mean to read about him, study about some historical guy who came and died. Even the demons believe he did that. We need to know him by the Spirit. That's our mission. That's what we're going after. Advancing God's kingdom one heart at a time. It is not enough for Jesus to live in history. He must live in us. It's not enough for the world to see a Jesus that lived in history. They must see him in you. Well, what does he look like? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and gentleness. Amen, somebody? Amen. They must see him alive in the present tense. Oneness of mind and mission. So if you're on board with people knowing Christ on the inside, and not just the wedding, but then walking with him, being a disciple, a learner, a student, you know, that he's Lord of their life and they're transformed every day to look more and more like him, that's where we're going. Number four, combining with others for a cause greater than yourselves. Yes. Amen. Boy, that is a hard task in America, because everything in America is, I'm living for me, man. I got my own name. I got my own brand. I got my own ministry. It's all me, me, me. No, the unity of the Spirit is combining with others, yielding with others, partnering with others for a cause greater than yourself. Amen. That's why it can't be, the goal can't be to go to church. We're not in unity because we all go to church together. There's got to be a spiritual component, a spirit quotient to our relationship that walks out in love and that we do life together and we encourage each other. How about this? We're following Jesus together. Do you see how that's a little bit of a higher rung than, oh yeah, we go to church together. You can go to church together and not know anybody. But what if we're all part of this one body, this local expression that desires to follow Jesus together? Amen. Who becomes the bond that ties us all together? Him. See, church membership is not a strong enough bond to hold us together through thick and thin. Through persecution, problems, pressure. Sometimes life deals us pressure. Amen? I mean, it's true. Church membership is not a strong enough bond. So he said in Ephesians 4:3, work hard to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He is our peace, John 14:27. So he is our bond. Amen. Just let Scripture interpret Scripture. That's all I'm doing. He is our peace, John 14:27. John 16:33. In me you have peace. What's our bond to unity? Peace. Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The word bond there is literally glue. He is what keeps us together through the pressures and the pain and problems. Can I get a witness? Some people are hard to love. Ain't none of them here, but they all skipped today. Oh, goodness. This is why the unity of spirit can't be accomplished by one person. It really does take all of us, multiple individuals, buying into Jesus' lordship. And like we said the other day, as we move deeper into lordship and intimacy with Jesus on a daily basis, guess what's happening? We're moving closer to each other.
Yes. Amen.
Because he's our bond. He's our glue that holds us all together. My goodness. That's a powerful revelation. Church membership, all that, casual acquaintance is not a strong enough bond to hold people together. We got to have Jesus, who is our peace. So once we commit to build his kingdom, not ours. I'm going to say we're in America, so I get it. You know, it's land of the free and we got all this opportunity. Thanks, Matt. Mm-hmm. We're in America, so we're all driving. You know, I want to have my own business. I want to do this. I want to do this, do this. I understand that. But we have to purpose in the spirit, the realm of the spirit, and regarding spiritual family, that we're working together to build his kingdom, not ours. And I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. Churches need to understand this. If it's true, and it is true because Jesus said it, if you try to save your own life, you'll lose it. It's true corporately for a church. If a church tries to save herself and make herself the end to be sought, she will lose herself. So we give ourselves as a church to the cause of the kingdom. And then what do we have? Life. Amen. He said, if you'll lose your life for me, you'll have life given back to you. Yes. So the church, just like we do as individuals, we relinquish. We're not the end all be all. We're not the goal. He's the goal. Amen. We're hopefully a pathway and a bridge and a catalyst to other people knowing him. Wasn't that powerful? That's a powerful truth. So we lose the idea of trying to build our own kingdom. We're going to build his. How about this? Once Jesus is the preeminent leader, not us, it's amazing what happens. Once he's decided upon among everybody that he's the leader, then ego leaves, strife leaves, pride leaves. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride comes contention. Yeah. Only by pride. No, I was mad. We're fussing and fighting because of what they said. No, only by pride. It's your pride that was pricked by what they said. What they said pricked your pride. I'm not saying it was right, but if you're all strife-filled and upset and given over to the flesh over it, then only by pride comes contention. All right, I'll move on. How about this? We lose the, if it's not my idea, it's not a good idea mindset. How about this? Or if the smoke's not coming out of my chimney, there's no fire mindset. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? No, we lose all that. It's all about him. He's the preeminent leader of the church. Therefore, we're all humble because we all look the same at his feet. I don't care what your call is. I don't care what your gifting is, what you think your title is. We all look the same sitting at his feet. Nobody can say, well, you need more grace than me. I'll tell you. Nope, not true. In that atmosphere of that oneness and humility where nobody cares who gets the credit, the kingdom moves. The kingdom manifests. What's the kingdom? The kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17, righteousness prevails, peace prevails, joy prevails in that atmosphere. So Satan cannot stop this from happening. Even the kingdom gets advanced in all three generations. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The kingdom is moving in our hearts because nobody's caring who's getting the credit. Nobody's sitting around saying, well, if that idea didn't come from me, it's not a good idea. Man, all we want is him. Satan can't stop that, only we can. So here's Galatians 5:13-16. For you, brethren, we're indeed called to freedom, only don't let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity for selfishness. Don't make excuses for selfishness. No, you don't understand. I'm mad because he said this. Don't make excuses for self-centeredness. If it really hurt that bad, if they really hurt you that bad, let your heart break for them. For them to say, if it was that cruel, what they said, you need to be praying for them because their heart's not right. Amen. But through love, you should what? Serve each other. Amen. And this is good. Don't let the devil tell you that when you serve and you give your life to others, that somehow that's just such an uphill thing. Whose image are you made in? His. This is your song. This is the cry of your heart to not live self-centered. I promise you, this will make your heart sing when you begin to serve and love others. Verse 14, for the whole law is complied within the one precept, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then look at this, but if you bite and devour each other in partisan strife. Remember that it hit like an explosion last week. Partisan strife. I did not add that. It's just in there. It's an amplified Bible. Be careful that you and your whole fellowship aren't consumed by each other. He's not saying, watch out for the devil, everybody. He's saying, don't devour each other. Don't hurt each other. Verse 16. So I say instead, walk and live habitually in the Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you'll certainly not gratify the cravings, the desires of the flesh, that which is of human nature without God. We're not supposed to look like the world. We need to look like him. We're not to bite and devour each other, which means wound the soul, to eat all the way down and leave nothing but ruin. Churches are not undone by the enemy outside. Churches are undone by the enemy inside and the flesh running amok. That's what happens. We don't hurt each other with tanks and guns. It's by our mouths, our self-righteousness, our pride, whispers in the dark. People who sow discord. People who sow division. Other visions. We also have to think about the example we're leaving the next generation. I prayed this earlier, Luke 18:16. Jesus said, let the little children come to me, for such belongs the kingdom of God to the childlike. Let's have an atmosphere and leave more than a mess for the next generation. Man, let's example and model what it is to be to have stick-to-itiveness. For better or for worse, we're going to walk this out because he's our glue. I wish you were more like me, but you're not. So I'm just a joke. The kingdom is not a business merger. So we don't walk together until we disagree and then we split assets. That is not the kingdom of God. That's not what we show the next generation. We show, hey, Jesus is worth it. Right. Jesus is worth it. The cause is bigger than our petty differences. Amen. His cause is bigger than our petty differences. We're not here. See the lie that everything should be catered to you? Right. Everything should be all about you and your preferences as an American? That's a deception. You want his preferences. What does he want? It sounds like this. Not my will, but your will be done. If you want me to walk with Robert and Donna, I will do it. And I'll do it even if they hurt my feelings. It's never happened. Not once. But Lord, not my will, but thine will be done. It shouldn't be that we go to church and everything we do is Americans about our own personal preference. What does he want? What does he desire? Because he has the words of life. And he's not selfish. There is another who is self-centered. The other nature. That's not like Christ's nature. In America, we've got to open our eyes. Because that nature is perverting our country. How about this one? No, not it. No, that's not it. This is insane. All right. I'm going to say it. It's not on there. I already looked. I looked. All right. Listen to me good, because I was going to put it on the screen. As the Lord adds to our body, how many of you are okay with new families? Amen. We do not say to them, you're in my seat. Come on, somebody. That stuff happens. What in the world? Where's that come from? Selfishness, personal preference. You're here to give your life away. You're here to lay your life down for other people. Where is that in Christendom? The master did not even come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Would we not look at Jesus differently if it said he went into the temple and said to Joe, you're in my chair. Move it. We would look at Jesus differently. So we are good with new families. If you're new, we want to help you. We want to help you get acclimated. And I'll tell you up front, we haven't been great at it. We haven't figured it all out yet on how do we allow for easy connectivity. And so much of the Western church is it's just about getting plugged into something. I don't want you to just do something. I want you to be who you're supposed to be in Christ. And if that involves serving in the nursery some, then praise God for that. But man, I want you winning at work. I want you winning and manifesting Christ in your marriage. We want you to know him. And if you have to come here for 3 years and not do a thing except sit at the altar and get to know Jesus and soak up the word and walk with Robert and Donna as they help you learn from Jesus to be like Jesus, then come for 3 years and do nothing. Amen. We're going to make you serve. It's not about, using people to build a great church. God uses the church, the authentic community, to build great people. Yes. That's what we want. We don't even care about your money. Robert just said, our Father owns cattle on a thousand hills. It's true. We're not looking to you. If we're looking to you for the money, we're in trouble. Right? I mean, just you specifically. It does take all of us in our obedience unto the Lord, but it's His money. But if you need to come, not give one red cent for a year so you can serve, not serve, not give, so you can get to know Him, come and get to know Him. And if we can help you get with somebody to walk with you so that you don't stay a babe forever, then that's what we want. Why? Because what He cares about is people who know Him. Lord, did we not cast out demons? Lord, did we not go to church? Did we not take communion? Did we not do this and that? Depart from me. I never knew you. So knowing Him intrapersonally is what we care about. All right. As the Lord, I'm not even to the slide yet. As the Lord adds to our body and our leadership teams, we must increase in love and dependence upon each other. Even if, let's say the church explodes and all of a sudden there's 500 people that are calling this home and they can't wait to be a part of the mission of people knowing Jesus in Eastern Oklahoma County, then we need to grow in love and dependence on each other, because I don't care if there's 500 people, we still need to have oneness. Right. Amen. We need to be ever mindful of a welcoming attitude towards new leaders, new families, new individuals. Amen. Does that make sense? Yeah. But that'll cost you. You can't just come here and think about you. You have to say, listen, okay, I'm either part of the harvest. Nope, I'm not part of the harvest because I'm born again. I know Jesus. Then you're part of the laborers. And so it's in your heart to help people to know Him. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. I mean, it's the truth. So how do we do that? How do we continue to grow in love and dependence upon each other? Are you ready? We got to know each other by the Spirit and quit knowing each other after the flesh and familiarity. This will preach really good. 2 Corinthians 5:16. From now on, we know no man after the flesh. So we begin to see each other and know each other by the Spirit, calling each other up to who we really are in Christ. The word familiar is rooted in the word family. So when you have close oneness and you do walk together, you get to see each other's warts. But newsflash, ain't a one of us perfect after the flesh. So let's get over that. None of us are perfect after the flesh. So let's begin to know each other by the Spirit. Let's begin to honor and recognize each other's call, each other's role in the body of Christ. Some of you run in the same circles. I know this. Some of you hang out on the weekends. I know this. But do each other a favor and start seeing each other by the Spirit. Don't let familiarity breed contempt. And just be like, well, I know Robert and Don. I'm picking on you guys a lot today. I know Robert and Don. I tell you, just stop knowing them after the flesh. If you really know them like Christ knows them, you know that their power, potential, and possibility is limitless. You keep looking at them in their present condition. You need to look at them based on His possibility, what He's working in them. How about among the staff, the church staff? We're together a lot, but as a church staff, we have to purpose to see each other's God side. Everyone on the staff, and my wife Stacy, who's ministering right now, she's not here, but she stepped out. Everyone can tell you and testify, Steve is not perfect. See, it's a shock to you all. But you don't walk with me every day. The staff sees me every day. They see me several days. Stacy sees me every day. My kids, Caleb, Noel, they're back there. They know I'm not perfect. But wouldn't it be important for us as a family to still see each other's God side? To recognize, hey, there's a call on Steve's life. He's valuable within the body of Christ. He's valuable within this family. My my natural family and then the church family. Does that make sense? But that's not just true for me. We need to do that for each other. We cannot be carnal. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 3, and behave like mere men. Let's call each other up higher. Recognize the call on each other's lives, how God has marked and chosen each one of us for the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of the whole. Our call as a body is a higher call than your individual call. And we've lost this because we're Americans and we think it's all about me. It's really not. You partner with others now for a cause greater than you. And so our call collectively is a higher call than our call individually. So we grow in grace when we take our grace gifts and we submit them. When I submit my grace gifts to Robert and Donna, right? Or to Lisa or to Sylvia, I grow in grace with them because I've given my grace to them and they're giving their grace to me. And we're growing in grace and truth as a church family. And it's good for who? Everybody. We all profit. So when we all move towards Christ in Lordship, it benefits all of us. Don't just move to Christ to Lordship and come out of worldly living and worldly thinking just for yourself. Do it because you know the impact it'll have on this church body. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for letting us see this. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 12, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jew, Greek, slaves, free, we've all been made to drink what? One Spirit, not one church membership. We're drinking one Spirit. He's alive in the present tense, and He's in us. Verse 14, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. So I'm going to say again, if you don't like somebody, take it up with the Lord. He set the members. And my guess is that person is on his payroll because he's trying to kill your flesh. He's trying to rid you of pride. Aren't you glad, Liz, this is so good, aren't you glad He won't let you settle down into just halfwayness? You cannot settle in strife. You cannot just be, oh, this is great. Because you're, yeah, and I hate everybody. I hate that person. He's not going to leave you alone. He loves you too much to let you rest in halfwayness. Isn't that good? He's a loving Father. I know Him. So if Kenda takes up offense against Gladys, now remember, it could happen. Remember, Gladys doesn't have the power to offend Kenda. Kenda has to take offense. She has to take it. So the enemy comes and offers it to her through Gladys, let's say. But where was I going with this? Thank you. Halfwayness. I know Him so well that if she takes up offense, guess who He's going to talk to Kenda about? He is. And Kenda can pray all night long, fast all day. Lord, please change Gladys. She's such a nasty person. And the Lord's like, Kenda, can I talk to you? She just won't be able to settle down into it. He loves you too much to let you work your own ruin. Woo, that's good. So our call together is higher than individuals. God sets the members. Guess what? God doesn't just call Pastor Steve here. He'll call the elders. He'll call the staff. He'll call disciple makers. He'll call greeters. He'll call the board of directors. He'll call students of Grace volunteers, kids of Grace volunteers. He'll call volunteer leaders. He'll call outreach people, evangelists, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone's called. Everyone cares. Everyone contributes. I love that. And when you're called, it means you forfeit the right to get mad and leave. Called means you choose honor over dishonor. Humility when you're tempted with pride. trust when you're tempted with fear. We all get tempted. Sin is a violation of trust. So when your trust is violated, fear tries to creep in. You choose unity over division and reconciliation over get mad and leave. All right, Ephesians 4, a couple more. Gavin, you guys can come. Ephesians 4, verse 1, I mentioned it. Prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Everybody say, I'm called. With all humility and gentleness, long-suffering, bear with each other in love. Here it is, endeavoring. That is a labor term. That means work hard to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That bond is the bond of Jesus Christ that holds us all together. Can I tell you something from my heart? With all the strife and craziness going on in the world, relational-based Christianity is all that will survive. And in a way, guys, it's good because I think God wants the religious version of Christianity to die and go away. I think relational, authentic, real, walking with Jesus Christianity, not just Him, but relational based with each other, that we're following Him together, that's what'll last. Whatever is going on in the world right now. Because it's kind of crazy. The church of the future will possess a strong sense of commitment to Christ, a real commitment to Him and to each other. And then look at this, last one. Ephesians 4:16, Passion Translation, for His body has been formed in His image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. Amen. Stand with me. Boy, I pray this has been a blessing to you. I don't really know where we'll be next week. I know that He wants Annie to share, Gavin to share again. You know, we're just continue cultivating our partnership as a church and these specific ministries. But I pray... Let's just pray together this morning. Father, I pray that this seed of the unity of the Spirit will not be stolen from us. It will not fall upon unfertile soil. That it won't fall upon wayside soil. It won't fall upon thorny ground, stony ground. But Lord, it'll take root and we will be the church of Jesus Christ. That loves one another, that cares for one another, and that partners together in following Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for every person in this room. If they do not know you by the Spirit, I pray, Lord, get them right now. Just touch them amazingly. Touch their heart, Lord. Fill them, Lord, with their consent, with your fullness. That they would comprehend what is the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of the love of God that surpasses human understanding. Boy, I ask, if that's you this morning, I ask, just open your heart to Him. It is about knowing Him. Maybe you've been a church member your whole life, but if you've never come to know Him, receive Him, and live connected to Him, then that's my prayer for you today. Just open your heart. Father, touch them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Raise up a powerful church. Raise up a lovely bride who knows what it is to lay our lives down. Lord, I pray for those within this body that are part of the laborer committee. Lord, that we would see ourselves as partners with you to help other people know Jesus.